American Journal. It's been a busy, busy morning, and so we're excited that you guys are jumping on with us today. A lot happening over here. We're breaking exclusives, stuff you're not going to see anywhere else, because everyone else in the mainstream media is a bunch of cowards, and they're too afraid to talk about the truth. But we've got dozens of pages of documents regarding the FBI, DOJ, and TSA, illegally spying on Americans, putting them on terror watch lists. One prosecutor, which is the craziest thing. I got my hands on this email, and I don't know how he's not fired yet. Kenneth Corder, according to his LinkedIn page, he is still over at the DOJ. Now, Kenneth Corder, as you see here on your screen, according to his email signature, was a senior counsel for Capital Siege Section. Now, interesting enough, he's one who, without any actual evidence, decided to put a woman on his radar. She was about to be arrested, actually. She was put in the queue of misdemeanors because of, and literally, he says that. This case will be placed in the misdemeanor assignment queue for future prosecution, a future date, whenever they're ready to do this. They had no evidence. They actually used an image of a woman who, it wasn't Christine Crowder. You see, and the reason why we know it's not Christine Crowder, and again, she's going to be here in just a second. She's coming to our studio right now to talk to us. The reason why we know it's not Crowder, who's in this image that you see here on your screen, is because you're going to see a woman who's lifting up her left arm and waving. Now, if you're wondering why I'm bringing you to this picture, that's because, sadly, Christine Crowder cannot lift up her left arm. After, I believe, when she was pregnant and 26 years old, she sadly was, she lost movement. And so she's unable to make that motion that you saw there on your screen. You would think the FBI would have known that if they would have actually stopped to speak to her, get to know her. Now, they surveilled her home four times. They actually sent agents outside of her home to watch her. Her husband, by the way, is a U.S. Air Marshal. That's how they found out that she was added to a domestic terrorist list. He's one day at work minding his business and then randomly sees that his wife is being flagged as a terrorist. Obviously, as somebody who's a high security level, you'd be a little worried about that. You have a domestic terrorist sleeping in your home. But obviously, she wasn't anywhere near the Capitol that day. Didn't matter, though. They still put her on that list. They still moved her into the file to be charged eventually. And thank God she wasn't charged. She wasn't charged, by the way, because Sonia Labasco actually went on Kyle Serafin's show. And they did a whole discussion about it after her husband found out that she was flagged as a domestic terrorist. And lo and behold, the FBI, who watches the Kyle Serafin show, their fans, I hear, decided to go into her house and interview her to see if they got it right. And they learned they got it very, very wrong, according to their own words. She had documents that proved that she was actually in a Lyft ride going somewhere else at the time. She had the receipts. All I had to do was ask her. So she's joining us in studio to react to all of this because she's one of the few people who I've ever seen get all of this information. And again, wasn't anywhere near the Capitol. You have a legal right, your First Amendment right. You could attend a rally if you want to. It was a permitted protest. The president was speaking, and so she had every right to be there. But not under the Biden regime. No, no, no. The Biden regime will buckle down, throw you in prison, arrest you, do whatever they have to do. They didn't even care that this wasn't the woman. They didn't even care that her outfit didn't match that day. They didn't even care that they didn't have any evidence, any geographical evidence that backed her into this position where she was somehow in the Capitol. They didn't care. They didn't care. They still put her in a folder with others and were going to arrest her if it wasn't for the Kyle Serafin show. So keep that in mind, folks. This is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a regime that was very, very evil and still zero arrests. I was told, though, that I got to stop talking about that. Can't talk about that. There are things happening behind the scenes, I was told, but I don't know what that means. These people still have jobs over at the FBI, DOJ, TSA. Why is that? A serious question that's worth answering. All right, we got more to dive into in just a minute. Again, that exclusive dropping probably in about 25 minutes. So you're going to buckle up. We also have more stories to dive into, and I'll be running down the list. There's a lot more to catch you up on. So don't go anywhere. More American Journal on the way. Stay tuned.
I'm funded by you, and I appreciate your support. Very humbly, thank you for your support, those that have. Those that have it, what are you waiting for? Our information is bar none the best. The supplements are game-changing. The Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the IRC Moss, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. But there's a deal going for a few more days where you buy any supplement and get a bottle of the Shilajit gummies or Atomic Defense Super Immune Booster free. You choose which free gift you want. That funds our operation at thealexjonesstore.com. I want to thank those that have stood with us. If you're going to buy anything, become a VIP. Just in your profile, $30 a month, cancel anytime, no charge. You get $40 every time you spend $30 to spend. So you make $10, if you're going to buy anything, you should be a VIP. You get special deals, special offers, special sales on top of everything. Also, you get big discounts when you use the app for Android or for Apple at alexjonesapp.com. Just links you through to get the free apps right there. So it's the same shopping cart online. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I want to thank you all for your support.
Into the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. As you all join us in the third hour of the show, I want to remind you that we're going to have an exclusive interview for you in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere, a lot to expose. I also just got an email from Texas AG Ken Paxson's office, the AG's office, coming out with a good little win over here. The AG has secured a major victory by stopping Samsung from using its smart TVs to illegally spy on Texans. That just secured by the AG, put out a statement in regards to that. Samsung is just one of the five TV companies that were found to have been collecting your personal data. And they're not supposed to be doing that. There's laws in place in Texas that prohibit them from doing just that. So Paxson now says that there's a temporary restraining order in regards to that. And that announcement just dropping from the AG's office. So that's good news. That's very good news for the Texas AG. Again, guys, like name another Texas AG that's even close. That's even close. There's no one as close as Ken Paxton. So he's doing an incredible job. And it sucks that he is very likely going to be heading to the U.S. Senate. And I want him to win. I do. But we need a fighter here in Texas. And the rest of them, well, they're not quite the fighters that we need so desperately. So desperately. Aaron Wright, though, is probably the only person I would say is very close to Mr. Paxton. We've had him here in studio. He's not a coward. He comes on this network and he speaks the truth. There's a way for the polling information to come in. He gets you a take before he gets the polling data. That's just how he feels. He's not a politician. So hopefully he could be the next AG of Texas as Ken Paxton moves on from all of us. I don't like John Cornyn either, so this is a good thing still. All right, let's switch up gears a little bit. Let's talk about Seattle, because Seattle, well, things aren't going well. There was a report over the weekends that the new mayor, Katie Wilson, well, that she was going to stop law enforcement, the Seattle PD, from going after those who were using drugs. She wanted them to stop arresting them. Okay. Now she's denying that, claiming that's not the case, but I remember seeing the union commenting about that, and I thought it was quite strange that now she's denying it all together. I don't think these people pulled it out of their behinds. It obviously had to have some substance. But in clip 8, she's laughing off her latest critic, because obviously, folks, these Soros-funded lefties, well, there's one word for them that they hate to be called, and they pretend like it's not where they truly stand in life. That's the hate being called communists. Well, Mayor Wilson is upset and she tries to laugh it off, but President Trump called her out for it. Take a listen to clip 8.
I had the honor of being noticed by the President of the United States. Who called me a very, very liberal / communist mayor. It's nice to feel seen. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, my gosh. Imagine being the buffoons behind her, clapping your hands like a bunch of seals at the idea that she's probably a communist. Yeah, I don't understand why they sit here and think this is a laughing matter. We have communists who have infiltrated the federal government, the local governments all across the country, and they are taking full swing at all of this. So, again, this isn't something to laugh off. I know that laughing is their way of playing this down a little bit, downplaying all of it. But again, this is serious. We have a communist takeover that's going on here in the homeland. And while we're sitting there going and arresting other communists in other countries, we probably should be focused here. I guess Republicans, and this is probably why you're not seeing a massive movement here on this front, they just think like if it gets really bad on the left, that that's going to pivot people to vote for conservatives, Republicans, and such. But I don't want to see communists make their way to power. In fact, we used to have a federal government that handled that issue. I'll leave it there. But I don't understand why we're going to sit here and pretend like this is okay, like this should be happening. We have laws in place to prevent these people from getting into power. And sadly, I think the Republican stance on all of this is let's see how bad things get. Then we could run off that. That's our platform moving forward. That's garbage, though. That's garbage. And that shouldn't be what's taking place here. Let's pivot a bit. Let's talk a little bit more about the fraud because HHS has announced as of yesterday that they are rescinding the Biden-era rules that allowed states to pay child care providers based on enrollment rather than verified attendance. Wow. What a commitment. What a commitment. You have to prove that there's actually kids there. We just can't take your word for it. Now, obviously, again, this is a policy that was criticized for allowing potential fraud and abuse. Couldn't imagine that happening. I think it was Michael Bird's wife. She's being accused now. This was a rumor I saw floating online. But apparently she's being accused of also running a daycare center. Again, it doesn't mean this is fraud. I just thought that was an interesting post, given all the controversy. Everyone owns a daycare center. You know, I probably could be living the American dream if I was the owner of several daycare centers across Texas. Ah. So we'll see. Could be just a social media rumor, so bear with me. Don't want to go there on that one, but we could just say that there was a social media rumor floating around that that was the case. Might be worth looking into, though. Yeah, but seriously, though, folks, it's pretty disgusting that we've shuffled billions of dollars to these daycare centers, and some of them might not even be legit. I mean, how easy would it have been if they just took in the kids and racked in the cash? I mean, they were paid so much money, so much money. This means more than $19.3 billion in federal funds may have been shipped around for the last 20 months without any verification. What if we would have taken that $19.3 billion and paid moms to stay at home with their kids and raise their kids themselves? You see, this is the part that really, really gets me upset because I have loved ones who are starting families and they are trying their best to keep jobs because they can't afford to sit at home and raise their own children. So they have to shuffle their kids into daycare. The majority of their paycheck goes to cover the expense of daycare. And then they're slaving away for other jobs. Imagine if we would have taken that $19.3 billion and given it to mothers and encouraged them to stay at home and raise their own children. I know it's a thought, it's probably crazy. Much easier to verify, by the way, because you'd have a social security number to match up with these mothers. But again, I'm just a crazy fringe right-wing conspiracy theorist. Don't take my advice on anything. Don't do just that. All right, interesting. Another kind of win. A U.S. district judge refused to dismiss the remaining criminal charge against a woman. You may remember her, Congresswoman LaMonica McIver. Sorry, I'm blind. As you get older, everything, the fonts just get smaller. Here I am, size 15. Not enough. Okay, so according to the report, she was looking to get one of her final charges dismissed. If you remember, she was the one in that New Jersey ICE facility outside who was causing quite the ruckus, chaotic scene. She got into a bit of a scuffle with ICE and she wanted to, you know, I'll just accuse her of this. It's just my personal opinion. She wanted the very dramatic video of her getting into a scuffle outside of an ICE facility and being abused by an ICE agent when she was the aggressor in all of this. What happened there, though? Thankfully, DHS did move Colorado on this and the DOJ did prosecute her. Now, multiple charges have been dropped. I think this is the last one that's still sticking. This is a part of her pre-trial efforts to get that final charge dismissed. And again, the same judge, though, apparently did drop the two other counts, though, prior to all of this. So it's really quite messy. She still has a charge, though, that's sticking, which is good news. But again, it's not enough. It's never going to be enough. You know, when you sit here and you do this political theatrical scene outside of an ICE facility and you assault ICE agents, you should be rounded up and taken to prison. There was no reason for this. There's peaceful protests, which we all can support. Yes, it is your right to peacefully protest, but this was everything but. And I know her, one of her defenses was, oh, well, I was trying to, this was an act of Congress. No, it wasn't. You were trying to see if you were going to get away with this. And you didn't. That's the good news there. But it's only one charge. But they tried. They tried. I feel like that's what it is these days. The DOJ is at least trying to stick some charges on people. I wouldn't say they're high up on my top priorities list. I wouldn't even call them deep state operatives. I would just say that these are people who are like the lowest hanging fruit on the tree. And so they're going after them. And speaking of that, there was another Democrat who was recently just indicted. She's actually a former Georgia state representative, Karen Bennett. This woman apparently has been charged, federal indictment, one count of false statements in connection with fraudulently obtaining nearly $14,000 in COVID funds for unemployment relief. Only $14,000. These are the allegations that are currently being made by the DOJ. Obviously, we don't know if she's guilty or not guilty. She has not yet, I believe, pleaded out in court. I'm sure that date's coming. But again, another Democrat. Surprise, surprise. Now, I don't think it's exclusively Democrats. There's probably some shady Republicans, and we'll keep our eyes on that. But it's good to see. Now, this is the second Georgia state official who has recently been indicted on charges related to fraud. No surprise there. No surprise whatsoever. All right, let's get the good news rolling. Why not? The Corporation for the Public Broadcasting has just announced that their board has voted to dissolve them. That's after nearly 58 years. So this is because they were defunded. As many of you guys know, once it was exposed that all these people are just taking your taxpayer dollars and using it to push forward the left-wing agenda through the media. It was all right. It was RIP time. Well, they were defunded and now they are going away, it looks like. Now, whenever I get the opportunity to play a clip from Senator John Kennedy, I actually usually just take it. And anytime I see he's doing a hit, I always just, if it's muted, I always unmute because I want to see what he has to say. He's always got these little funny one-liners that he slips in there. And they don't actually make any sense sometimes, but they're just funny because he's so quick on his toes. All right, so he did speak out in regards to how your taxpayer money was being used to shift over to NPR and PBS. And in clip 9, he enlightened the American people on what trash the Corporation for Public Broadcasting actually is. Take a listen.
I want to give you a few examples of stories that NPR has published using taxpayer money. I'll just read the headlines. First headline, NPR News Service. Michael Avenatti, quote, a profile of the media savvy attorney. They love Michael Avenatti. You know where Michael Avenatti is today? He's in jail. You know why? He's a crook. But for a while, he was a media darling on NPR. Here's another headline from NPR. How racism became a marketing tool for country music. I kid you not. The American taxpayers are spending $500 million a year to pay a local station to buy content that says country music is racist. Here's another headline from NPR. Donald Trump's long embrace of Vladimir Putin. Remember the Russiagate? The Steele dossier? NPR was right in there promoting it.
Exactly. No surprise there, folks, as he outlines how bad it was, obviously, but good news is adios as they make their way out. This is why it's so important for groups like Doge, because when you defund them, you're cutting off the propaganda from the left-wing hacks. that are looking to push these messaging, this message at your expense, of course. At your expense. I thought there was a very interesting discussion that was had between Mike Cernovich, who I truly do appreciate, and Tucker Carlson the other day. I want to play clip 10 for you because both of them are talking about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And obviously, it is something that is just gut-wrenching that so many of us are just so upset about still to this day. But we all have more questions than answers. And Cernovich details just that in clip 10. Take a listen.
And that's why the Charlie Kirk thing really was a frustrating thing for me because, well, I mean, it was a tragic thing, you know, like frustrating. It sounds so like shallow. I just thought that people would realize they're hunting us for sport, all of us. Tucker, they're hunting you. If they could get Shapiro, they would get Shapiro. If they could get Walsh, they could get Walsh. If they could get Candace, they could get Candace. And it ain't the Israelis and it ain't the Jews that are doing it. It's a violent, feral, terrorist, you know, Bolshevik left. And they would get all of us if they could. So whatever acrimony we have, which is like, I'm not a unity guy. I'm a guy who likes, you know, likes the mix, maybe too much. But it's like, dude, they're going to kill us. They're going to kill all of us. And we need to figure out, some kind of way to coexist with one another, understanding that the threat against us is existential. And they would, the left, if they could kill Seth Dillon, they'd be glad to kill him. If they could kill you, they'd be glad to kill you. To them, that's just another notch on their belt or a point on the scoreboard.
So what's the administration doing about this?
That was my problem with the Trump's first term is, the political violence against Trump supporter, because again, we're just supposed to deal with it. Just deal with it. Was the almost completely ignored during his first term.
Is it still being ignored?
Under my definition, it is. Yeah, they're arresting some people. There's more happening than the first term, but the response is not what I would like to see.
So the claim when Charlie was murdered was that this was Antifa or some Antifa adjacent. Person or organization. I don't know if that's true. I don't know anything about it.
I think it's absolutely true.
I don't know that, but I don't have any other theories. I don't even understand the story. But if people said it was true, so like, okay, where's the roundup of Antifa?
So there.
Sorry, you got a dog sneezing right there.
That's good. The good puppy. So the. No, I'm a. I mean, I think it was Tyler Robinson. I think a 22-year-old man on a mission is a very dangerous thing. And that I think that there were other people in those Discord servers and there were people tweeting something big is going to happen tomorrow. And after tomorrow, Charlie won't be around anymore. So I'm very frustrated that there doesn't seem to be much interest in maybe those people were just guessing or maybe they were trolling, but there doesn't seem to be much interest and finding out who those other people are.
Why do you think?
Well,
it doesn't make any sense to me.
I always go back to the Garland, Texas mass shooting, which is, to me, this is like the skeleton key of it all. So Pamela Geller, who's very much pro-Israel, about as hardcore as you can be on the issue, did a Draw Muhammad contest. And there was going to be a bunch of other people also like very pro-Israel. And a jihadi was going to shoot the place up. It was Texas, and he got taken out. But by an accident of fate, a local law enforcement officer pulled over an FBI agent who was fleeing the scene, got the guy's phone, and the text message to the jihadi said, "Tear up Texas." Sounds unbelievable. It's 100% true. Senator Grassley has asked for information twice from Ray and Garland. Has been stonewalled. I don't know why Kash Patel won't release it. I've asked everybody up as high up the food chain as you can get why we can't get it. And
what's the answer?
My belief is that that MKUltra never ended, COINTELPRO. MKUltra was, of course, the mind control experiments they conduct on people, where the book Chaos covered this in great detail for people who are curious about that.
About the Charles Manson murders.
The Manson murders, and then there was that Air Force guy who was drugged up and killed somebody, and that didn't even make sense, and I didn't even know about that. Well, that book was completely mind-blowing. And I do think they still have whatever arm of that is, whether that's within the FBI or some other dark site within the intelligence community. I'm certain that still exists.
Yeah. It was a very enlightening interview. And, you know, Mike Cernovich is one of the best that we have out there. He does his digging. He's been doing this for a while now. He's one of the originals. So it's good to hear him out there. He's doing very limited media coverage. And I don't blame the guy. But whenever I see that there's a Cernovich clip, I always hit play because whenever he's talking, I usually always learn something. And of course, it is always great to hear from him. All right. So we're keeping our eye on a lot of things, like I told you guys. Following a lot. So I actually didn't even pay it the respect that it deserves. MTG, yesterday was actually her final day in Congress. And, you know, feel how you feel about how she is right now. I know a lot of people aren't fans of her, but she was a massive J6 fighter. And I want to highlight that. Whenever I had an issue, her office was very quick on its feet to go look into it. There was only like three of these people. And it was her office was one of them. And we didn't have much in the way of fighters. And what am I talking about here? I'm specifically talking about the prison, the jail, the DC gulag. This was something that she was very passionate about. We didn't have a lot of fighters. We didn't have a lot of people advocating for these brave Americans who some of them were wrongfully accused. And they didn't go there that day to commit violence. And they were there peacefully, but they were still held in jail. Now, she was an advocate, and we cannot forget that great work that she did for them, regardless of how you feel about what she's doing now. So I think it's really sad that we lost Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. I do hope that she goes back to her core, which I think was great. Her political stance was great. But she is out there, and she is obviously doing a lot of corporate media hits. And we could play this real quick, but in clip six, this is how she spent her final day in Congress yesterday. She spent it yesterday on CNN talking about the Trump administration. Take a listen.
Do you think that Marco Rubio, Stephen Miller, Pete Hegseth, and J.D. Vance should be running Venezuela, as the president puts it?
I would like to see our elected president and vice president and his administration running America. I think that's most important for the American people and our interest. And we have real problems here at home. We're nearly $40 trillion in debt. They've done a great job stabilizing inflation that was record high under the Biden administration. They've done a wonderful job securing the border. And I love seeing the crime statistics go down. But I would like to see a continued focus on domestic policy that helps the American people. That's the country that they are supposed to be running. And I hope that the United States of America is the country they stay focused on running.
All right. Obviously, I understand her criticisms. But again, I mean, it's great to hear from MTG, upsetting that she's left. And, you know, remember all the great that she did. Remember all the great. You could disagree with her now, obviously, on her takes and her criticisms for the administration. But and some of it's 100% correct, some of it. So there is that. But I tried posting and everyone was so negative and mean to her. So I took down the post because I tagged her in. So I don't want her to see all the negativity that was circulating online. But I think that she's a patriot. She still loves this country. And I do hope we get her back into this fight some way, somehow, and back to her original core beliefs, because I was very, very proud of her and how bold she was to speak up on so many critical issues. So we do hope that she enjoys, and she is getting married. So we do hope that she enjoys her time out of Congress. All right, guys, buckle up. We got more to discuss in just a bit. An exclusive interview you won't see anywhere else happening in just a few moments. So stay put. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you indulge in its 47% off sale. It's the Patriot Day sale going on right now. That means it's 47% off site-wide in honor of Patriot Day. So head on over to the shop and make sure you snag up before this deal ends. Only a few more hours left.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I loved his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other
stuff that I was taken, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and go, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us today because we have an exclusive interview that you're not going to see anywhere else. As many of you guys know, it's been 5 years since January 6, 2021, and it's obviously, it's been very disappointing to cover these stories and the lack of accountability on these federal agents who should be held accountable for what they did to so many January 6ers. So many Americans pulled up and attended a rally that they were legally permitted to attend. That is the key point in all of this. Now, so many of them, because obviously the Biden regime was in control, found themselves on the receiving end of a lot of harassment. And my next guest that we're going to talk to in just a minute, Christine Crowder, she's one of the individuals who didn't even go into the Capitol, wasn't even in or near the Capitol. Keep that in mind. But she was harassed for several years, the FBI launching an investigation based on a tip that was turned in by a friend. Now, we've got all of this outlined stage by stage, and the only reason why we have this, and we have to give credit where credit's due, because Senator Rand Paul's office has done an incredible job at digging into this. And I told you guys, I sued TSA and was trying to get my hands on documents like this to figure out how Americans ended up on terror watch lists. And in court, TSA just said, can't give it to you. We can't give it to you. It's a national security issue. But Crowder has gotten her hands on a lot thanks to Senator Rand Paul's office. And they just released it all to the public this afternoon, or this morning, I should say. And we've received responses from DHS, Kristi Noem's office responding to me, as well as the FBI director, Kash Patel, responding to Rand Paul's office. And everyone knows what happened here is completely wrong. But you need to understand what specifically happened to Crowder. Now, again, all she did was arrive in D.C. and she went to see President Trump speak. Now, obviously, it was a very chaotic situation and she got lost in the crowd. Her friends that she originally went with got lost and she was trying to figure it all out. There was no signal that day. It was very chaotic. And so she just went and left. But sadly, one of her friends, her former friend, called the FBI because she believed that she had saw Crowder on footage. Now, she called and brought this tip to the FBI. Now, the FBI never made a positive match. Technically, they never made a positive match, but they still opened an investigation anyway and pretended like it was Crowder inside the Capitol. But it wasn't her. It wasn't her. And there's several different elements on how we know that it wasn't her. Now, based on the documents, and we're going to show you this picture, because this picture is one that's worth your attention, because this would have quickly proven that Christine Crowder was innocent. On page 11 that we've now brought in, you could see that the woman who is inside the Capitol is lifting up her left hand and she's waving to the crowd outside the Capitol. That's what it looks like, or she's waving to someone. Now, if you're wondering why I wanted to bring your attention to it, this is why. Crowder has not been able to, for several years, since she was 26 years old, she hasn't been able to lift that left arm. And so if the FBI actually did its work, they would have realized that this can't be her. Now, there's many other indicators. It's not her outfit that she was wearing that day. We have the pictures. If you line them up side by side, you notice it's not her. But the FBI still continued on with their investigation without even having any geofencing to prove that it was her that day in the Capitol. Now, thanks to the incredible, and you know, I love her. She's a great friend of mine. Sonia Lobosco has done an incredible job at exposing the innocent Americans that were added to this terror watch list, because she is one of the reps for air marshals all across the country. Well, when this was put on her radar by Crowder's husband, well, guess why? First off, her husband is a U.S. air marshal. And so he was added. Well, he saw, I guess you should say, he saw that his wife was flagged as a domestic terrorist, which is so insane when you think about that. You're just at work one day and you find out that your wife is at home is a domestic terrorist, according to our federal government. Well, obviously, that wasn't the case. So through this FBI investigation, which was obviously never should have happened in the first place, it shifted over to her getting added to a terror watch list over at TSA. I believe it was the Silent Partners, one of the many watch lists that they had. And they surveilled her. They put her through hell at the airports. They assigned air marshals to follow her. And this didn't just go away after her husband flagged it for the agency that they knew that she wasn't even at the Capitol that day. This went on for quite some time. And sadly, it only ended really after Sonia Lobosco went on Kyle Serafin's show. Well, actually, it didn't even end on there, but the FBI's angle to all of this ended there. She went on Kyle Serafin's show and called it out and was just very honest and direct about what happened. Now, the FBI watches Kyle Serafin's show, and then the very next day, I'm told, ended up going to Christine Crowder's home and interviewing her. And we have that interview. They were quickly able to just go, not our girl, not our girl. But it was already too late, because the DOJ, who, this is infuriating, because when we talk about accountability, everyone who is attached to this should have been held accountable. But an individual who is apparently the senior counsel over at the Capitol Siege section, well, his name, Kenneth Corder, he sent out an email to add Crowder to this folder that they were apparently building up, this queue for potential future misdemeanor assignments. So they were going to charge her with a misdemeanor offense. And this prosecutor had said in an email to move her over to it. Now, I looked up this individual's LinkedIn page, and according to his LinkedIn, he still works for the DOJ, which is absolutely horrifying. Joining me now to discuss all things related to this unlawful, unconstitutional persecution. I mean, Christina Crowder is here in studio right now exclusively to detail everything that we're kind of uncovering. And I want to just say, first off, I'm sorry you went through this in the first place.
Thank you.
I am so happy, though, that you've gotten your hands on these documents thanks to the senator's office. Right. They've done a great job.
Amazing. I don't know what I would have done. It never would have ended.
Yeah, it would have never. And that's the point in all of this. You know, the FBI realizing after a very long time that, all right, you're not the person who is in the Capitol footage videos.
Right.
But they did a very detailed report. And we have the pages of this agent who drafted up this criminal complaint. It looks like potential criminal complaint. And they're trying to say that this is you in these images. It's hard to see. They have no geofencing.
Right.
So they have no actual proof that this is you, but they're still pushing this forward as if it's legitimate.
Right.
When you saw these documents, what's your first reaction?
I was shocked. We always wondered how I got on the list. Mm-hmm. I was at January 6th with several people. I flew in on the 4th and toured D.C. on the 5th and left on the 7th. So we assumed that someone, they... TSA or somebody gave anyone's flight information that was in the Capitol was put on the list. Because a friend of mine believed she was on the list, but we could never prove that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was literally floored when Senator Paul's office texted me and said, have you seen your FBI profile? I'm like, what? Why would I've never done anything wrong in my life.
No.
And I was shocked when I saw that. And of course, I have no recourse because the woman who reported me, who was a former friend, sadly killed herself. So I have no recourse whatsoever. And I have no idea. She said she saw my pictures on Facebook that I was in D.C. And she said she happened to be watching the news and saw someone coming out of the Capitol and was convinced that it was me.
Okay.
And she met with the FBI 2 times.
That's so crazy.
It was just insane.
Yeah. And when we look at these images, too, and again, this is all being... we now have some insight into all of this. And probably the reason why you didn't receive an FBI file, a profile on you, is because you were never charged, because after they interviewed you, and you were very nice for speaking to the agents, because I probably would have been so angry that they had the audacity to come into your home and try to have a conversation with you on this, because you had nothing to do with this day. But you were very kind to them, and you spoke to them, and you handed over the receipts to prove that you weren't in the Capitol.
Yeah, because I was at least half a mile away.
Yeah.
And I had timestamp pictures that we told that my husband tried to show at work and to his superiors that, listen, she was not there. I have timestamp photos of her lift receipts and her taking pictures outside where she was. And you could see, look, she was not there. And the times didn't even match. And no one wanted to listen. Everyone just said, let this play out. And my husband's like, that's my wife.
Exactly.
I have a top security clearance. And my wife is a domestic terrorist, which is just an awful oxymoron. I mean, it's sad that this is what happens in our government.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm so proud of your husband for sticking up for you, by the way.
Right, I know.
Yeah, that's impressive,
right,
though.
I know. He risked a lot to do that, to become a whistleblower. So I'm very proud of him.
And he actually testified, too.
He testified.
We carried it on this show.
Oh,
we watched
right.
it live, and it was incredible.
Was amazing. First of all, I think one Democrat showed up. It was supposed to be like 6 Republicans and 6 Democrats. And after Ron Paul presented, and my husband, everyone presented their evidence, no one else came in. Like, they just, the one that was there left, because there was no defense. There was nothing she could say to my husband or to anyone on the panel to say it's okay what the government did to me.
Yeah.
And 2 senators, Senator Moreno and Senator Josh Hawley, they were actually horrified, and they could not believe. They actually apologized to me. They're like, I cannot believe my government did this to you. I am so sorry.
And I don't think a lot of people understand how bad this list was, because, Sonia Lobosco does an incredible job, and she's been trying for over a decade now, going out there and trying to blow the whistle.
Right.
And it's been infuriating, because she only was able to get a lot of momentum now that there's been a shift over in administration.
Right.
And it's not even just her, too. It's David Londo as well. I should give credit to
right.
both of them. A bit of power.
They're both wonderful.
Yeah. They've done an incredible job.
They really have.
And you've been working with them for quite some time
yes.
now. They're trying to help you out.
Right.
How's that? What's that been like?
They've been wonderful. We went to D.C. I went with my husband to testify. And I hadn't met David before, but I did.
Yeah.
And he is just wonderful. He's a patriot. And I believe it was because the Biden administration was so vindictive.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like Trump or the guys the government portrayed us as right-wing terrorists or, just horrible Nazis and whatever, all the things they called us, that's what the Biden administration and everyone who worked for him believed.
Yeah.
Truly believed that. They almost dehumanized us, that we were nothing, and they could do whatever they want to us. And they did. Look at all the poor people that were in the gulags and the jails. It's sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their lives are ruined forever.
Well, that's the other problem here, right? Because the DOJ in one of those lawsuits is claiming sovereign immunity when it comes to constitutional right violations. And I really hope that doesn't stick, because they're trying to get that dismissed. Because people like yourself, you deserve to get paid for this. I mean, there's no other way. I know you don't have a lawsuit pending right now, but that's...
We're hoping to find a firm to take on our claim. And we really like Judicial Watch because they took on Ashley Babbitt's case. And I don't compare myself to that at all. That poor woman sacrificed everything.
Yeah.
But they're very reliable and they're great at what they do. So it would be wonderful if they could help us.
Judicial Watch is full of patriots. When I had an incident too, they actually, without even telling me, they actually did a FOIA request with my local police station to let me know. And then they've reached out to me privately. They are a group of patriots.
They're wonderful people there.
They are. So it'd be great to have them on your side. And you know, when I'm going through the documents and I'm looking at all the things that they had done to you behind the scenes, and you probably were unaware about a lot of this, but I mean, they had even...
No, but I was aware. That was the thing.
The investigation?
First time it happened, I was coming back from my grandmother's funeral in Florida, and I tried to check in online, and I couldn't check in online. It said, see desk agent. So I go to the agent, and they're acting really weird, and they're on the phones. I'm there like almost an hour, almost missed my plane. I'm like, what is going on? And I was getting angry because I didn't know I was on a list at that point, but I knew something was off. So then they're like, you have to go over. They finally did it. And I saw someone following me. It was a TSA agent that was following me. I'm like, that's strange. Maybe I just walk slow and he's being polite and walking, you know, slow. But then everywhere I went, he was behind me. And then I got to the gate and there was this huge table set up by the gate and with bomb sniffing dogs. People are like, why are there bomb sniffing dogs here? I'm looking out the window. People are talking to me, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know why they're there. And then they did a intrusive pat down at the jetway, in the front of everybody, in front of all 100, 200 passengers. And when I yelled and argued, and they're like, then you're not getting on the plane. If we can't do this, you're not getting on the plane. It was, everyone just thought I was a criminal, and it was horrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I can't even imagine how embarrassing that is from a personal perspective on it. Because again, and obviously your husband being an air marshal, you know, it doesn't just end there. Right. There's likely that there's people that you wouldn't even know in regular civilian clothes flying with you.
Said, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just, and he didn't want to tell me over the phone what happened. So he's like, cussing. I'm like, I can't get on the plane. I don't know what to do. There's people following me. He's like, just calm down. It'll be okay. And then when I got home, he later explained it to me. And I'm like, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
It's unjustifiable, though. There's no reason for this to happen to you.
It really was.
Yeah.
And then I had to use the restroom, and I used the first-class restroom. And I saw these people looking at me, like men looking at me. I'm like, that's strange. You know, do I have something on my shoes or is my face or something? And it was the air marshals that were checking me out. And their reports were so detailed.
Yeah.
They were like, she was wearing UGG shoes, a Blue Vineyard Vine shirt, had a Coach purse. I mean, it was just... pink nail polish. I mean, things they did not need to know. And then they listened to my mother, and my mother and I had a conversation on the plane. They were listening to our conversation and talking about it. I mean, it was just so invasive. You know, I'm an open person, but I don't want someone being like, oh, this girl was wearing this. She limped. She does this. So personal and intrusive into my life. It was terrifying. I was scared to fly.
Yeah.
It didn't stop me, but it was knowing I had to go through it. I don't know if I told you, one of some recent air marshals that worked with my husband, and they were supposed to follow me. They sent them to follow me. And afterwards, they wrote a report saying that, you know, she's wonderful. She did nothing wrong. We know her husband. They're stand-up people. They don't deserve to be on the list. And they were actually punished because of that.
Wow.
They got in trouble, so they stopped. So now they were wasting all our taxpayer money by sending air marshals from other areas in the country to fly to follow me because they didn't want anyone to follow me from their office because my husband worked there.
What was the penalty for those agents who spoke out on your behalf?
They ended up retiring because they were going to get files, I believe, placed in their records.
Oh my gosh!
So, and then actually, one time when we flew to New York with my entire family—my daughter, my mother, my husband—they actually sent my husband's a federal air marshal. He's been one for 20 something years, and they sent an air marshal team to follow my husband and my family. But he was the air marshal. It was comical.
Yeah.
Even the other agents were like, are you kidding me?
Mm.
And they still had to write. They had to follow us. They would say what my daughter was wearing, what my mother was wearing, what I was wearing. It was like I lived in a Nazi state. It was horrible.
Yeah. And how long did this go on for?
3 years.
3 years.
And there was always a joke in my family that, the FBI is going to be coming knocking on the door one day. It was just a running joke. And one morning, my husband's like, the FBI is here. And I'm like, I was half asleep. I'm like, stop. He's like, and then my daughter's like, Mommy, the FBI's here. I'm like, stop messing with me. That's not funny. Aww. I'm tired and I'm grumpy. And they're like, my husband's like, I'm serious. I'm like, no, you're not. And my daughter's like, Mom, they're really in the house. So I had to get dressed and ran out. I was just horrified. We joked about it for a long time just to make light of it because it was such a, untenable situation. We just laughed, you know, about it. And they were there, and I was just like, okay. And, you know, we gave them everything, and they were very nice. And then they called back the next, my husband called them the next day to resolve, make sure I was off the list. They're like, yeah, you're off the list. And my husband's like, well, can I have a case number? There is no case number. What do you mean? My, law enforcement, everything has a case number. Everyone in law enforcement knows that. And they're like, no. So apparently it was a bid to just sweep everything under like nothing happened. They'll clear me and that's the end of it. They're not liable because they had no case number. They did nothing wrong.
Isn't that something?
Right. Until when we met Senator Rand Paul, Christina, his I believe, I don't know if it's his chief of staff or not, but she was wonderful. And I said how they took down my Twitter. And it's been almost 5 years now, and they would never give it back. I even apologized against my better judgment because I had so many memories on my Twitter account, and I had built up a following. So, and I had no way to contact friends that I had made through over the years. And I said, listen, I'm really sorry. Whatever I did wrong, I'm sorry. Can you please give me my account back? I must have done that 20 times over the past 5 years, and to this day, I don't have my Twitter account back. And I can't even ask Elon Musk to put it back because I can't post. I can't do anything. I can only look at Twitter. I can't. So I can't even say, Elon Musk, please get me back on Twitter. And so then she said she made a call and she was trying, Christina was trying to get someone to get me back on. Then I guess she's like, well, let's pull your FBI file. I mean, they didn't really know me, you know, so that makes sense. And thank God they did.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot in here.
There's some, and she texted me, have you seen this? I'm like, what? I was floored. I had no idea.
Yeah.
We had just woken up Saturday morning and I read this email and I was like, oh my gosh, it was just, it answered a lot of questions, but it still leaves too many unanswered questions.
Yeah, when I look at the timeline of everything that's been in your file right now, you know, there was a search warrant that was issued based on the DC court. They obtained a search warrant to search your Facebook, it looks like.
Right.
And to go through your account from that end.
And my pictures are all gone. Anything from January. All my pictures that I posted for those couple of days are gone.
Did you delete those?
No, I did not. Facebook must have done it because they banned me for like a week for posting pictures.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's insane. And again, I mean,
I would look the other day. I'm like, I want to go back and look at the memories of those pictures, what I said and everything. And it's gone. There's no record of it. Facebook took it all down.
It's absolutely insane that this happened in the first place. And this warrant, too, by the way, was looks like it was they issued it back in 2022. And then after they had their meeting with you in 2023, it looks like the writer who, I guess, put together this file on you recommends closing, I guess, everything down and saying that in light of the new evidence, just shut all of this down, this file that they had against you. But I mean, OK, so when I want to get to the core of this, the DOJ angle to this, because I saw the email that came from the individual named Kenneth, who's over at the DOJ. And according to his LinkedIn page, I looked this morning. It still says that he's an employee of the DOJ and that the DOJ and FBI don't comment on personnel matters. So they would never confirm that with me.
Of course.
But according to his Facebook or his LinkedIn, he still works there. But what is it like when you see that this individual was flagging your case to move forward, even though they didn't have geofencing, they didn't speak to you, but he was going to potentially have you arrested for something you weren't even anywhere near.
I didn't do it. There was also a quote in there from the Attorney General, I'm not sure if it's the same person, saying that, you know, if you find out she hurt a Capitol Police officer or did anything, let me know immediately.
Yeah.
Like as if I was this raging lunatic that was out there attacking people. I mean, that was horrifying to read about myself. Let me know. Please let me know if she did something wrong. Like they were out to get me. Seriously, like I wasn't being paranoid. They were out to destroy my life.
Yeah.
And thank God they were not able to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your evidence against them was very strong. And we joke about D.C. juries and how they would never be favorable towards conservatives.
Right.
But I don't think a D.C. jury could convict you just based on how strong the evidence is. I mean, you don't even look like the woman who's in the photos. The jacket color is completely different. Right. The length, everything is different.
I don't even have a red MAGA hat. I have a green Trump hat that says I'm a Trump girl.
Yeah.
So it's not even like I ever wore a red MAGA hat anywhere in my Facebook pictures or anything because I didn't have one. So for that woman to say that my former friend to say that about me and to think that was me. We went on vacation together for 2 weeks. She knows what I look like. She knows I'm not tall and thin like that woman. And I don't wear a jacket like that. And I don't have a MAGA hat. She knows that about me.
I want to ask you about this. I know it's personal, but the FBI surveilled your home four times, and I texted you last night joking because they said you had a very well-maintained lawn.
Right, my husband was like, at least I have a well-maintained lawn.
So that was a professional opinion. They like your front lawn.
Right.
It's funny, but it's not very funny because it's still an invasion of privacy because they're writing in this that they're looking through the windows that they can't see because you have the blinds closed. So they do get very specific as they're outside of your home surveilling it.
Right, and they tag, like they took down the names and makes of my neighbor's cars who live next door.
That's invasive.
Right. And then one time last year, I flew to Florida to see one of my good friends there. And they followed, in the report said that they were following me out to her car and they took down her license plate. Now, she's a Democrat. She has nothing to do with it whatsoever. I haven't seen her in a couple of years. Mm. And to have that type of, be that intrusive, it's just wrong. And that actually that day, it's a funny story. I was the last to get on the plane. So they sent me at the last row, which is fine, next to some young man. And I'm very chatty. Mm-hmm. And so was this young man. And we started talking. And we were just laughing, talking about, you know, just... And I told him my story. And he was like, that's horrible. You know, mm-hmm. I'm like... He's like, you don't look like a terrorist. I'm like, I know I don't look like a terrorist. And the next morning... And joking around, we took a picture. Just like a silly picture. And the next day... And I had showed my husband. The next morning, he's like, you're a moron. You sat next to the air marshal that was following you and told him your whole story. I had all the people to get chatty with. He was just a very nice young man.
Yeah.
And I didn't, you know, think about his story. We were talking about kids and stuff, and it was just weird.
I mean, I'm sure he didn't take you as a threat either. That's why I was really chatty.
But he had to write exactly what I was wearing. He's like, yeah, I sat next to her. We had a long talk, you know. It was just, I felt so... vulnerable and just so abused. I mean, that's just so personal to have someone do that to you.
Yeah, well, I think absolutely it is. And, you know, we've got about a minute left. I wanted to get to this, though. When I was going through your documents, there's the image of the woman that they're accusing you of being, and she's lifting up her left hand,
right,
her arm completely, and she's waving to someone. I spoke with you yesterday about this, haven't been able to do that since you were 26 after an injury.
Yes, I had a stroke at 26 years old, and I never regained the use of my left arm. So my friend knew that because she's been on vacation with me. We were close for a long time.
Yeah.
So why they would think someone... All they had to do was look at me or research something about me and find out that I was disabled. So there was obviously no way I was climbing the Capitol steps, number one. Mm-hmm. Or number two, I could use my left arm.
Yeah.
And they also left out that my husband was, you know, an air marshal himself.
Yeah. And I'm sure that was just a coincidence, though. That
right,
was
intentional. Right. It's just weird coincidence that they forgot that.
Well, I mean, as we go through all of this, we look through all the information, I'm glad you have this now. I'm glad you've been able to obtain all this information. This is really important for you to have. And I do hope that you guys are able to get counsel here because what they did to you is unacceptable and there needs to be accountability. The people who are part of all of this, they also need to be arrested.
Right.
I don't think they're ever going to be arrested, at least fired.
I don't blame the air marshals that had to follow me. They were just following orders.
Yeah.
It was the people at the top.
Yes, those are the ones.
Those are the people at the top who allowed this and told my husband, you know, walk away.
Yeah. Well, Christine, we're very honored to have you on the show today, and thank you for sharing your story with the American people. I know everyone was so upset about this terror watch list that so many Americans landed on, so thank you for being here and sharing your story. Folks, that does it here for us today. The Alex Jones Show starts next, so don't go anywhere. More to discuss in just a bit.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWars.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace with Evil, same Crusader King, and then Do Like That Still Image of Me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get them for $100. They're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens before they're hatched. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching anything, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones to shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.